3, 2, 1. All right, welcome to Fundamental Bible Baptist Institute. This is class 1 of Bible Doctrines 1, and this is the first time in 6 years. We kind of moved slowly starting this institute 6 years ago, and so now we've come back to one of our first classes. We have three people in this class 6 years ago that took it. They've chosen to stay, and I'm glad that they're staying and will continue to learn. We want to welcome not just the students that are here in class, that are here for credit. We have new students here, some for credit, some for auditing. Very thankful for the amount of students that we have here today. I have some missionaries with us today as well. I'm dating this video now. But we have some missionaries, Cody and Allison Powers, missionaries to Nigeria. And very thankful they're with us in class here. And we want to welcome Brother Noel Becker, John Kute, and anyone else there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota that's coming online to watch. We want to welcome you to the fall semester. And I trust and pray that God will bless you as you continue your studies of God's Word there. And then we want to welcome Brother Ballinger and those in the Grenadian Islands on as well to our Bible Doctrines 1 class and to our opening day of our fall semester 2022. Thank you for watching. We're going to open our Bibles to two different texts for those that are in our local class right now from Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I'm beginning a series over there on Wednesday evenings on Bible Doctrines 1. And so you guys are going to hear this twice, and this is on purpose because I want to make sure that all of us understand Bible doctrine. Amen. And repetition is a good teacher. You say, well, I don't want to hear the same thing. Well, Christians have been reading the same book for 2,000 years now. Amen. Over and over and over again. Amen. And God's Word, it never gets old. All right, so we're going to take two text verses tonight, Psalm 11:3, and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And if you've been in any of my classes before, you've heard me, especially with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, 2 Timothy 2, 15, you've heard me quote those a lot, and I'll quote them a lot more. Amen. I love them as I teach. But Psalm 11, verse number 3, I'm just reading one verse out of the 11th Psalm. By the way, let me say this, since this is a Bible Institute, just as a point of order, when you're standing up to preach, you don't say Psalm chapter. Turn to Psalm chapter 23. It's Psalm 23. It's Psalm 11. It's a psalm. It's not a chapter. If you do it, I'm never going to criticize you. Amen. But somebody that knows may criticize you. So I'm trying to help you. Amen. When you stand up, these are psalms. It's kind of like someone that's leading a song says turn to song number. Okay. And you get mixed up with, I'm not going to get into that right now. Amen. But you get mixed up on that too. All right. And but that's a whole nother. These are little pet peeves of Brother Ruppman. Amen. All right. So Psalm 11:3. The Bible said if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And brother, I'm watching that clock there, and I forgot to time it now. So just tell me when I hit 40, okay? I got 3 minutes left, brother. I just started, amen. I hope I have 43 minutes left. I'm 3 minutes in, all right. So the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the psalmist is using an analogy here. And I'm not going to get into what this psalm is talking about, but I'm just using this for an illustration. If you have a foundation to a building, and that foundation is destroyed, if it collapses, the whole building falls. This is a Bible doctrines class. And if we don't know the foundation of our Bible doctrine, our theology is going to fall. It'll never stand when people criticize it, when people critique it, when people come and challenge you, when people ask questions. Men or ladies, I'm telling you, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're living in a day, and I'm telling you, I'm already feeling that urge to preach, and I can't preach today, all right? But we're living in a day when the foundational doctrines of the Word of God are under attack. Men that stand behind pulpits in independent Baptist churches, both in Africa and the Grenadian Islands and in the USA, it's like they're taking an axe and they're chopping the foundation of what they believe right out from under themselves. And then they wonder why the church begins to fall apart. We can't be doing that, all right? So we're going to try to build those foundations and strengthen those foundations because we're here to see the gospel preached and churches planted. And we're not just here to say, well, look how many churches we started. You're not here to say, look how many villages I reached the church. We're here to see strong, solid, stable, sober, spiritual, scriptural churches be established that can stand the test of time, all right? Now, if we're going to have that, we're going to have people that are strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16 and 17. And this is more of the text verse, really. I use the other because we're dealing with the thought of a foundation. And what we're going to be doing today is dealing with the foundational doctrine to all other doctrines. All right? So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration, it means breathe, the God breathe. That's what the word inspiration means. It's not like, you know, you're listening to some classical piece like Handel's Messiah, and somebody says, wow, he sure was inspired when he wrote that. It's not like some like, boy, that's really good. This is God breathed.
Amen.
All scripture, it's the word of God. As I'm giving you my word, I'm breathing it.
Yeah.
All scripture is breathed by God. It's given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. That's what we're talking about in this class. Doctrine teaches us what is right. Watch this. For reproof, reproof teaches us what is wrong.
Yeah.
For correction, that teaches us how to get right.
Yeah.
And for instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to stay right.
Yeah.
Man, if we're preachers of God's word, then we got to get this. Amen. Now, the purpose of this course will be to give the student a working knowledge of the major doctrines of God's word. We'll have Bible Doctrines 1, Bible Doctrines 2, and Bible Doctrines 3. It's necessary for you and I, especially as leaders in churches, to know the word of God, because it's the only way you can come to know God is to know his word. We learn God through his word. We don't learn God through some emotional experience. Well, I feel emotional today. Man, I know God. You know God through reading his word. The Bible is a progressive revelation. You say, well, I get up and I just felt God. No, you didn't. You felt good. There's a difference between feeling good and feeling God. We learn God and feel God through the page of this book. Amen. Amen. I got to stay with this. I want to preach so bad today, and I can't. All right. Now, we're instructed numerous times throughout the New Testament to know Bible doctrine. So let me just roll with these verses. Ephesians 4:14. If you can turn there as fast as I can, follow along, because I'm already there. I already have it written in your notes. So really, it's in your notes if you just want to read your notes. Ephesians 4:14 makes it clear that God does not want us to be, quote unquote, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Well, today I'm going to be a Calvinist. Yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to believe in the free will of man.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to believe in speaking in tongues, and tomorrow I'm going to preach against it. All right. Yeah. He doesn't want us tossed to and fro in our doctrine. All right. The Bible said in Acts 2:42 that the early church, the brand new church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because they were giving them the doctrine of the word of God. Amen. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul tells Timothy, till I come. This ain't just Paul telling Timothy. This is God telling you and I, till I come. Till the rapture takes place. Amen. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, I'm just going to ask you, don't raise your hand. I wonder how many of you gave attendance to reading over summer break. I wonder how many of you took time to read the Word of God every day during summer break. Because if you didn't, then you didn't give attendance to reading, and you're in disobedience to God's Word. Amen.
Amen.
Especially for someone who's studying to be a preacher. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just wondering. Hey. The Bible said, give attendance to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine. That's what he said. Amen. Have you given attendance to doctrine over summer break? Or do you just study doctrine during Bible doctrine class at Bible college? Amen.
Right.
Are you studying doctrine? Do you just read your Bible every day, or do you study your Bible every day? I'm asking you, okay? I'm trying to challenge you. 2 Timothy 4:2, the Bible instructs the preacher. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Watch this. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. What's the next words? With all long suffering, that's patience and doctrine. Amen. You can preach, you can reprove, rebuke all you want to. Amen. But if it's not with the doctrine of God's word, you're wasting your time and their time. Amen. Guy stands up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, pastor of a Liberian church, stands up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he's exhorting, because you're supposed to exhort with all long suffering. But he forgot the doctrine part. And he's exhorting a 22-year-old young lady that just came in the church, and he said, hey, it's her first time there. He said, I see in your future. I see in your future. I see this year. God's going to bring a young man, and you're going to get married. And she said, excuse me, Pastor, I'm already married. He didn't give attendance to doctrine very well. Amen. We don't need those kind of preachers. Amen. We need preachers that'll preach the book. Amen. Now, so doctrine's important, is what I'm trying to say. Titus 2, verse number 1 said, but speak thou the things which become. That word become The idea there is to adorn, that make doctrine look good, sound doctrine. By the way, let me give you something real quickly. Put it in your notes and study it later on. The term sound doctrine is used 4 times in the New Testament. Not just the word doctrine, but the term sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, when the Bible talks about doctrine, it talks about a system of belief. We have a doctrinal belief system. But sound doctrine is a system of behavior. Doctrine teaches us what we believe, and what we believe teaches us how to behave. Right. Amen. So when our doctrine is sound, which means healthy, wholesome, then our behavior is going to be healthy and wholesome. Amen.
Amen.
But when our doctrine's not sound, then our behavior is not going to be sound. On your own. I don't have time right now. I wish I did, but I don't. I never have time when I get up here. All right? But study that phrase. Study that phrase in the New Testament 4 times, how it's used, what God refers to every time. All right? Now, let me just real quickly give you, because I got to say this real quick, homework for this course. I'm the nice teacher. Pastor Dari's the mean teacher with all that homework and stuff. And Pastor Whitman, all that, they're the mean teachers, okay? But every Bible college has to have a nice teacher, right? So all you have to do is read all your class notes, number one, because we're not going through a book of the Bible, so I'm not going to make you read the whole Bible, amen? Just read all your class notes, but then I want you by the end of this semester to write, and that goes for you watching online as well, to write or type in your own words a statement of faith. And it doesn't have to be a whole statement of faith. It just has to be on the 2 doctrines we're looking at in this semester. Bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible, and theology, the doctrine of God. I'm going to give you examples throughout this semester. It'll be on our online class for those watching. It'll be under the video in the comment section. There'll be a PDF. I'll send you example statements of faith so that you can see what a statement of faith looks like, okay? But don't write somebody else's statement of faith. You can borrow from it. But don't plagiarize it. Amen. All right. You can rearrange the words 43 different ways, but when I read it, I want to know I'm reading yours and not theirs. Amen. All right. And you say, what are you doing? I'm trying to get you as potential preachers here and Sunday school teachers and leaders in the church to know what you believe to the extent that you can write it down. Because if you can't write it down, how are you going to share it with somebody else? Okay. All right. Now, so that's going to be your homework. And remember, attendance to the class is 50% of your grade. Attendance online within a week of watching, 50% of your grade. If you're here locally, online don't have to pay attention to this, but if you're here locally, I said it earlier, if you're 1 to 10 minutes late to a class, that puts you a tardy mark. Pastor Dari put you down as tardy, and 3 tardies takes 1 percentage point off your final grade. If you're more than 10 minutes late to a class, you can't make up the semester. You can go back and watch it, but you won't make up the grade. If you're more than 10 minutes late, you miss that class, okay? And if I understand if there's a funeral that you have to attend, I may bend the rule on something like that, but it's going to have to be something serious because you need to be here in class. When you become pastors and church planners, you can't just say, I'm not going to show up on Sunday morning. unless it's an emergency, you got to be there. Amen. All right. So just be thinking about these things. Now let's talk about Bible doctrine. I got to move. How much time do I have, Pastor Dari? I have 13? Oh, 30. Like, man. Okay, 30. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is no problem. 30 minutes. All right. Okay, here we go. Bible doctrines, and I'm in the notes now. Bible doctrines are the teachings found in God's Word that, watch this, reveal God, the creator of all things, and his relationship to his creation. That's a simple definition for the word Bible doctrine. It is the teachings found in God's Word that reveal God, the creator of all things, and God's relationship to his creation. The word doctrine itself, it literally means to teach. And so if you want to become a teacher of the Bible, Brother Shadrach, you must first be a student, a learner of the Bible. Amen? You become a teacher by learning it so you can teach it. All right, now, as we begin then, the study of Bible doctrines, it is important to understand, and I say this on purpose because it's always in my class notes, but I also know for a fact that we have unsaved people here with us right now. And if you're here and unsaved, I am thankful you're here. And I'd never embarrass you and I'd never call you out, okay? But when you're ready to get saved, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor Dari. Come talk to one of these men here. We want to show you how to get saved, all right? But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. It's important to understand that the unsaved man cannot understand Bible doctrine. It's impossible. You say, why? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 13 and 14. I have people all the time that are pastors. I'm not talking about someone saying, I'm struggling to understand a passage because God's written it to where we have to study it to learn it. I'm talking about somebody that can't figure any of it out.
Amen.
They look at it and say, man, it's all Greek to me. I can't figure out that. Okay, God said, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things, watch that, not physical things. Spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man is the unsaved man. He's the physical man. He's the fleshly man. But he's not a spiritual man because the Spirit of God has never birthed him in the family of God. So he does not have spiritual life. So he cannot be spiritually alive. If Brother Arhan is here right now and Brother Arhan was dead, I mean, he's graveyard dead. He's and I walked over and said, Arhan, I want to give you $1,000 right now. He could not respond to me because a dead man can't respond. He's physically dead. If I walked up and said, hey, I don't like you. Quit looking at me that way. Pow, I hit him in the face. He can't. He can't. He's dead. Dead man can't respond to living men. Spiritually, dead men cannot respond to a spiritually alive book or an alive teaching. It's spiritually alive. So when a person's spiritually dead, you're not going to understand it. The natural man receiveth not. The word receiveth not means he cannot understand it. He cannot receive it and understand it. Why? Because he receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. It doesn't make sense. It's foolish. That doesn't even make sense. Now you can say, brother, up, and I disagree with you. I'm unsaved and I understand the Bible. Not like God wants to. He said, here's what God said. Neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discerned. You cannot understand a spiritually alive book when you're a spiritually dead man unless the Spirit of God begins to draw you, and He can use the Word of God to bring conviction to your heart, to germinate the seed of the Word, amen, to birth new life in you. Amen, amen, amen. Now, so I say the Bible is a spiritually alive book. Its truths are taught to the heart of the spiritually alive man by the Spirit of God. Now, the man who has never been saved is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. He has not the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, he is incapable of receiving and understanding spiritual truth. In this lesson, we're going to focus on two objectives today. We're not going to get right into bibliology. We'll start bibliology next week. The doctrine of the Bible. Bibliology. Bible. Okay? The doctrine of the Scriptures. But I want to deal today with, why do we need to study Bible doctrine? And how do we study Bible doctrine, okay? So let me just give you four things quickly because I really want to focus on the how if I can get there. Number one, we need to study Bible doctrine because God wrote the Bible. God wrote it. So if God thought it was important enough to write it, can I tell you, He didn't write it for the angels.
Amen.
And He didn't write it for the animals.
Yeah. Amen.
He wrote it for people. Amen.
Amen.
That's you and me. So if God said, this is so important that I'm going to spend 40 men over a period of 1,500 years to write 66 books, put them into one Bible, and that's a progressive revelation of myself to my creation, you better believe He wants you to read it.
Amen.
You say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'll just let my pastor do all the explaining. I'm not even going there. Amen. All right. I'll let my pastor do all the explaining. You have a responsibility to study to show thyself approved unto God. I'll tell you something. One of the students here told me, here in the class, he's in a church for a long time that had a pastor that brought a crisis to the church. And we was driving down the road, and he was talking about personalities, and sometimes they have personality conflicts, people, all that kind of stuff. And he's talking about the way people do things. And he said, but here's where I draw the line on Bible doctrine. That's where red flags come up. I'm like, good, amen.
Yeah.
That's where they need to come up, amen. We're all different. We got different personalities. You may like to do something I don't like to do, amen. You may sing a little louder, a little quieter than me, okay? I mean, there's so much differences between us and our personalities. But when it comes to Bible doctrine, when you stand to preach God's Word, amen, everybody in here, man, when I'm teaching, man, those little spiritual radar ought to be coming up saying, we better make sure Brother Upman's right. Better make sure he's standing in the book. You judge everything I say by this book. If I am in contradiction to this book, you take what I say and throw it in the garbage can. Because what I say doesn't matter. You're not going to stand at the judgment seat of James Ruttman one day and give an account for what I said. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what His Word said. So you better know His Word. Amen. All right. God wrote Bible doctrine. You can read the verses there. We're going to move on. Number two, because God's Word instructs us to know Bible doctrine. He said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 and 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Some of you, you've learned your Bible doctrine from Pastor Dari. Amen. Can I say, continue thou in the things. And I'm not trying to be funny, and I certainly would never try to insult Pastor Dari, but I'll say this, and I'm not trying to be funny at all, but Pastor Dari's not getting younger. He's getting older. Brother Upman's not getting younger. I'm getting older. Many of you are half my age. What does that mean? That means if time takes its toll, I'm going to die a long time before some of you do. So you need to learn Bible doctrine from your preachers. Amen. You need to learn it so you can continue in it. You've got to.
Yes, sir.
Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did Timothy learn them? Well, he learned from Paul, but he learned from his mother and his grandmother. Amen. They taught him Bible doctrine. Amen. Now listen. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's a Bible command. Why do we study Bible doctrine? Because God took the time to write it. He wants us to study it. Number two, because God commanded. He instructed us to know Bible doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:13, I already said it. So let me just go to Herbert Lockyer. Herbert Lockyer said the importance of doctrinal study cannot be overemphasized. You can't preach too much doctrine. I was at a preacher meeting, several preachers meeting in my life, and there'd be a preacher, Independent Baptist. And they'd stand up and they'd say something like this right before the camp meeting started. They'd say, "Now listen," or when they was inviting you to the camp meeting, they'd say, "Now, we want you to come to our camp meeting, but now listen, don't be one of those preachers at the camp meeting that gets into doctrine."
Oh, really?
That's right. We don't want to get into doctrine. We don't want anything that divides at the camp meeting. If doctrine kills the camp meeting, it wasn't alive to start with. Amen. If you can kill a good camp meeting with Bible preaching, amen, it wasn't a good camp meeting to start with. Amen. It wasn't.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you. Oh, don't even go there. Okay. I've had so many calls. Pastors. And I've said, "What? So I can't preach doctrine?" Well, brother, we're not really saying you can't preach doctrine. We just don't want to, like grind our doctrinal axes. I'm like, I'm just preaching the word. Amen.
Amen.
But they knew me, and they knew if I came what I was going to preach. They were trying to say, "Please don't." I'm like, I got it. I'm just not going to come. Amen. If I'm not welcome to preach Bible doctrine, I don't know what verse you preach that's not Bible doctrine. The whole book's doctrine. Like, which word is not doctrine? Amen. All right. Anyhow. All right. Now, because why do we study? Because God wrote it. Because God instructs us to study it. But then, because Bible doctrine teaches us what to believe, and more importantly, what not to believe. You learn error by studying truth. Some of you say, "Well, I want to know where the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. I want to know where the Mormons are wrong. I want to know where the Seventh-dayers are wrong. I want to know where the Southern Baptists are wrong. Amen. I want to know where the Protestant." Can I tell you? Study truth.
Amen.
Truth reveals error. The more you study this book, you don't have to go study. I don't have to go study demonism to figure out where the devil's wrong. I just read the Bible and I can figure out where he's wrong. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not against trying to learn stuff about different religions to talk. I'm not against. We had a wonderful cults class by Brother Jody Cole. All right. But I'm just saying, if you was in America and they were teaching an FBI agent or a CIA agent how to or a banker, a regular banker, how to recognize money, you know what they do? They make you handle real money every day, every day, every day, every day, all day, every day. You're flipping through real money, real money, real money, real money, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a day, every day, every day, every day. And then after weeks and weeks and sometimes months and months, they'll put a false one in there and immediately you recognize it because it's not right.
Amen.
You study the book, you'll start recognizing. My father said, he was a postmaster in back in the States there in Pennsylvania, and he was a young Christian, young in his faith, and he heard this guy preaching on the radio, and he said, "Man, he could sing so good. He said that guy could preach so good." And he said, "I listened to him." He said, "Everybody's talking about him. He's kind of the rave of the day, this particular preacher." And Dad said, "But one day I heard a preacher say, 'Hey, when you listen to radio preachers, don't just listen to what they're saying, listen to what they're not saying.'" And Dad said, I thought, "Hey, wait a minute." And he all of a sudden started realizing the man never preached on the blood of Christ.
Amen.
There were certain things he never even talked about, never preached, never even came into his message. And he realized the man, he was a Bible denier, man. He was a liberal, all right? But boy, sure did sound good. I'll tell you what, my father-in-law, when he went to Bible Institute, maybe we ought to do this here one day. He went to Bible Institute, and they came into a third-year Bible class. I mean, everybody preaching, a bunch of them was already pastors. And the teacher, the professor, put a video on the wall I said, I want y'all to watch this video. And they watched it, or maybe it was an audio tape back in those days. I can't remember now. It was video or audio. They watched and listened to it, or just listened to it. And he said, they were shouting it out. The whole class, like, it was a funeral. They were listening to a funeral, watching a funeral. So they were all shouting it out. The teacher got done, said, y'all like that, didn't you? And they said, man, hey, man, glory to God. Wish we had more preachers like that. He said, y'all just watched a Jehovah's Witness funeral. It's not what people say a lot of times. It's what they don't say. The Bible teaches us what doctrine teaches us what to believe and what not to believe. Amen. I'm telling you, it does. Now, 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We cannot be ready to answer if we're not ready to believe, if we don't understand what we believe. We don't know why we believe it, all right? 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets. Hey, can I tell you, Peter was still in the age, the Bible was, are you listening to me? The Bible was not yet completed right here, Brother Cody. It wasn't yet completed. Peter said many false prophets. Can I tell you, you can change it from many today. Anybody that stands up and says he's a prophet today, amen, he's a false prophet.
Yes, sir.
Because again, when the word of God's completed, we don't need prophets anymore. Why do we need a prophet to give us another word from God when we've already got the completed word of God? Amen. The apostles and the prophets, they're finished. They're over. This book right here stands. And God gives us now pastors and teachers to preach and teach the word of God. You'll never hear in this Bible Institute a prophecy from Pastor Ruttman. Pastor Ruttman's latest prophecy. It's the hour of power. We're coming on with the hour of power. We're going to give you some prophecy. This is a fresh vision. I put my Bible under my pillow last night. And I slept on my pillow. And it oozed into my head. That's nonsense. Every illustration I'm using, I've heard people say. Try that with your kids. I put my Bible under my pillow to learn the word of God. And it oozed into my head. Try that with your kids. I put my math book under my pillow, my arithmetic book, so that I can learn that 2 plus 2 equals 4. You didn't learn that putting your book under your pillow, amen? You learned that because somebody taught you.
Amen.
Somebody doctrinized you in arithmetic. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
One of these prophets says, well, he's such a good prophet. He hears from God. Then I want him to hear from God. You get on the plane that he hears from God. He's never flew a plane before. He's never been on a plane before. He's never even, and say, well, hey, you hear from God, and you get directions from God tonight. Put your pillow under your, or Bible on your pillow. Amen. Get the direction of God how to fly the plane, and let's see how confident you are to jump in the plane with him.
Yeah.
Amen. I ain't. And can I just tell you, I'm going to use an American word that's not the nicest word, but if you do, you're stupid. There's a bunch of people in Nigeria not so long ago that had a false prophet that convinced them they could drink some kind of drink. Amen. And they all drank themselves a poisonous drink to death because he took a Bible verse from your Bible, from my Bible, and said that you can drink poison and you won't die. And he gave them poison and a bunch of them died. You can make the Bible say anything you want to make it say. There's a verse in the Bible that said Judas went out and hung himself. There's another verse that says go and do thou likewise. There's another verse that says that thou doest do quickly. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. But that doesn't mean it's right. You've got to know doctrine to rightly divide the word of truth. It'll help you immensely when you realize everybody you watch on YouTube, everybody you listen to on the radio, every preacher that's in even a Baptist church isn't rightly dividing this book right here. And the only way you'll learn that, is by studying this book. That's the only way you're going to learn it, all right? Belief determines behavior. How much time do I got, preacher? I got 12 minutes left? Praise the Lord. All right. Number four. Why do we need to study Bible doctrine? Number four, because belief determines behavior.
Yes, sir.
Belief determines behavior.
Yes, sir.
Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Then in verse 3, he says, the aged women likewise. Doctrine ain't just for men. It's for women too. Amen. Aged women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior. Every time sound doctrine is used within the verse around it, you'll find the word behavior or something relating to behavior. Doctrine is my belief. Sound doctrine's my behavior. It's me living out my belief in front of the world, all right? That they be in behavior as becometh. It's a bad word today. People don't like this word, Brother Philip. Holiness. They don't like the word holiness. Sound doctrine teaches us to live holy. You say that's legalism. That's to live holy is legalism. Your Bible in the Bible is called the Holy Scriptures. Is that legalism? The third person of the Godhead is called the Holy Spirit. Is that legalism? Jesus said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." That means the second person of the Godhead, Jesus, He's holy. When Jesus prayed to His Father, He said, "Holy Father." That means the first person. That's why the cherubim in Isaiah 6 or the seraphim said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." He's thrice holy. So we speak sound doctrine. We don't just preach in our pulpits. Guys, listen to me here now. We don't just preach what to believe. We preach what to believe to lay a foundation to teach and preach our people how to behave. If belief does not affect behavior, then why am I pastoring a church to start with? Belief has to affect you. You say, "Well, belief doesn't affect behavior." If belief doesn't affect behavior, then how do 19 Muslims put on clothes, shave all the hair off their body, go into American airports, get in American airplanes, and fly into buildings and kill themselves because they really believed they were going to a paradise where they would have all the wine, whiskey, and women they wanted for eternity. That's what they believe. You say, "Well, they're wrong." How do you know they're wrong? How do you know they're wrong? How do you know the Bible's right and the Quran's wrong? That's why we're in Bible doctrines class. Amen. That's why we have this class. Anybody can say anything about the Bible. And I'm telling you, we got to get to the place where we know the Bible, where we recognize truth from error.
Amen.
If you believe everything that's said in Africa, if you believe everything that's said in Ghana, if you believe every signboard you read in Takoradi about the Holy Ghost and a holy apostle and a holy prophet and all this kind of stuff, you need to have your head examined. Because you're not in the book anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Belief determines behavior. If I believe salvation is by grace through faith, I'm going to preach that. It's going to determine what I preach.
Yeah. Amen.
If I believe hell is real, if I really believe hell is real, hell is on fire right now.
Yeah. Come on.
People in Takoradi are going there right now. If I really believe that, I'm going to behave that way. And I'm going to go on the radio like that man did last night. Got on 93.7, amen, star, amen. Whatever it's called, star power or something, amen, sky power. Yeah. And he preached last night the gospel. Why? He preached like he believed that people are dying and going to hell. You say, why? Because they're dying and going to hell.
Amen.
If I believe, anyhow, you can read the rest of the notes here. I got to get to my last point because I probably got 8 minutes left now, okay? 10 minutes? I got 10 minutes. This is one of those rare times when I just keep preaching. I just feel like I get more time. Normally, I feel like, man, where'd the time go, all right? I mean teaching. I'm teaching right now. Amen, amen. All right, why? Now here's the how. How do we, in all seriousness, how do we study Bible doctrine? How do we properly study Bible doctrine so that we're not led astray? What's the process? Because again, putting the old Bible under the pillow at night's not the right way.
Yeah, amen.
Listening to every YouTube preacher comes along, share it on Facebook, and said, "I got my inspiration for the day." In America, they call it your chicken soup for the soul. All right. Here's how you do it. How do we properly study Bible doctrine? Number one, gather all necessary Bible references on the subject being studied. If you want to know what the Bible teaches about hell, then go to every reference to hell you can find in your Bible. Because that's the only way you're going to find out what the Bible teaches about hell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want to know what the Bible says about heaven, find every reference in the Bible about heaven. That's how you learn about heaven, by going to God's Word and studying every reference.
Amen.
Isaiah 28, I really want to take time right here. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. To whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make, watch the wording, because this is what we're talking about right now. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? How do I understand doctrine? How does God make somebody understand doctrine? How do you take a sinner that's living out in the world, living on wine and whiskey and women, amen, and next thing you know, 5 years later, he's standing up preaching the doctrines of God's Word that he scorned and laughed at 5 years before? How do you do that? Watch what he said. Them that are weaned from the milk. You start with the milk of the Word. You start with the basic, basic truths.
Yeah, amen.
We had a lady at our first church, a Roman Catholic lady, got saved. She's 40 years old, 39, 40 years old. heard Roman Catholic doctrine her whole life. She'd sit back with my wife, teach Sunday school class, use those Becca flashcards. This is 23 years ago, 25 years ago. And she said, I've never heard the Bible stories. And she said, Pastor James, do you mind when you're teaching Sunday school, if I can go back and sit with your wife and watch her teach Bible stories? Wow. I said, please go back there. If you don't know the Word of God, don't be ashamed to start down there at the very beginning. Amen. You can't just go to meat. You start with milk. This is how we teach to others. Man, if you come and teach like Brother Whitman, amen, in a brand new church plant, you ain't never going to see anything happen. Amen. He's up there on the meat of the Word. Amen. But you start with the milk of the Word, right? He said, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, breastfeeding from the Word of God. As newborn babes, 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it's verse number 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You don't start out as a, I got saved and I was a scholar. I got saved and I was mature in the faith. Man, I'm eating that strong meat on day one. You started as a baby. Amen. You started as a baby. And then drawn from the breast. And now he's going to explain that. You say, well, I still don't understand it. Okay, let's see. Because a baby, you just put milk in the bottle or it comes right from the mother's breast, right? There's the milk. So what's he? How does that apply to Scripture? Here it is. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Slowly, but intentionally, we study the Word of God. One truth at a time. Precept upon precept. In math, you cannot learn algebra until you learn math. You cannot learn fractions until you've learned division. You cannot learn division until you've learned adding and subtraction. Amen. You got to start, and you can't learn adding and subtraction until someone taught you how to say one, two, three, core, I think, abion, abiasa, something like that, anon, enum. One at a time. If I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. Amen. But that's how you do it. You gotta start with the basics. I wish to God I'd come in here and preach Fonty to all of you. Amen. But I'm down here at the basics. Your 2-year-olds can talk better than I can when it comes to Fonty. It's true. And a 2-year-old that's in the book every day from the time he gets saved, and in church every time the doors open when he gets saved, he knows more than the average 20-year-old Christian that don't even read their Bible, and they go to church one time a week and they act like they're so mature. That 2-year-old in the book knows more than a 20-year-old. Amen. The average person gets saved has to backslide about 3 years to be in fellowship with the average old Christian in a church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, just go to any visitation or evangelism program of any local church in the USA or in Africa this weekend. And all the people that have been saved for 50 years, where they're at? They're not on visitation. I don't know where they are. Go on Wednesday night when Bible doctrine and prayer is being taught. Where are they at? But watch those people been saved 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. Watch the Mr. Davises. Amen. They're there. And my computer just died. Let me wake it back up. All right. Hello. All right. Now, here we go. Gather all necessary. You say, how'd you get on that? Gather all necessary Bible references. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Hear a little. You're not going to, some of you, man, that first class, Brother Whitman, that's lots upon lots. You start with little by little, inch by inch, by the yard it's hard, by the inch, what a cinch, amen. Just a little at a time, a little at a time, a little here, a little there. I learn a little on Sunday morning during Sunday school. I learn a little more on Sunday when the preacher's preaching.
Amen.
I come back for Sunday evening service because I want to learn a little more.
Yeah.
I come back on Wednesday evening, and if there's any other church services going on, the rest of the week I try to go there too. Because I want to learn. I want to learn. That's how you learn doctrine.
Right.
You don't learn doctrine because you put your Bible under your pillow at night. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hey. Understand number two. So number one, let me give you this because I got to be done. Gather all necessary Bible references. Number two, understand. When you read the Word of God, you must understand that there are divisions in God's Word. There's divisions in God's Word. The clearest example of this is the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Most Christians don't even understand that division. I saw just yesterday, and I'm going to take a couple minutes longer. I don't know where we're at, but I'm going to take a couple minutes longer. Amen, because I can't. All right. I saw just yesterday, Independent Baptist Preacher's website with a survey. What do you think is more important, the Old Testament or the New Testament? Or the Old Testament and New Testament together, and they had like five different answers. I didn't even answer. That is not a question that we should be asking independent Baptist pastors and missionaries.
Amen.
That is a question we should be asking people that have been saved for about 2 days. Amen. That's where we start.
Hey, yes, sir.
It's all important. All scriptures give me inspiration of God.
Yes,
amen. We have to understand their divisions in God's word. Most people don't understand the most basic division. All right. Now, and so when we come to the dispensations, we talk about dispensational theology. That'll help you to understand that there are eight different time periods from Genesis all the way to the millennial reign, where God had a stewardship for men. Let me ask you a question. Let me just explain. Let me give you a real small example of that, because I got to roll on. Let me give you a small example. If I walked in here and said, okay, Brother Cody Powers, your responsibility today, at this time in history, this is your responsibility because it's in the Word of God. And I read it to you from Genesis. Here's God's Word to Cody Powers. Do not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it, brother, because if you do it, you're sinning against God. You say, well, wait a minute. That's not for our day. It's in the Bible. The Bible says don't eat it. What if I came and said, hey, it's your responsibility to drag a lamb down to the tabernacle. And I mean, this church building thing we're doing is wrong. We ought to have tabernacles and tents like we set up at there, brother. We ought to have tents and canopies. Amen. We ought to be dragging lambs down. We ought to be cutting the throat. And you say, why? Well, that's not for today. How do you know? The reason you don't sacrifice a lamb is because you understand there's divisions in your Bible.
Yeah.
And that was for another time period. What's a big word for time period? Dispensation.
Yes, sir.
It's a time period. It's a stewardship. God says, this is man's responsibility during this time period. The patriarchs go not down to Egypt. That was their, what did every one of them do? Went down to Egypt. The dispensation of the law. Here's the law on top of Mount Sinai. Keep the law of God. Here's Israel. Dispensational law. All that the Lord has spoken, we're going to do. Did they do it?
No.
Not only did they not do it, they crucified the only one that did.
Amen.
Every dispensation has ended in failure. Every dispensation ends in judgment, and every dispensation ends with a promise from God and the mercy of God, and He opens up a new dispensation. We're the dispensation of grace right now. See, you say, where do you get all that stuff from? The Bible. Right, the dividing the Word of God. Understand there are divisions in God's Word. We'll talk much more about that later on. And then number three, please guys, especially younger preachers, get a hold of this. Please balance Bible doctrine with Bible doctrine. Balance doctrine with doctrine. You can major on a minor, and you can minor on a major. Learn how to balance doctrine. Let me help you understand this. Bible doctrines never contradict. I sometimes hear younger preachers preaching, Brother Cody, and they'll be like, let me just tell you something about how terrible sin is and about how terrible hell is and all the holiness and the judgment of God. And then I hear them preach about the mercy of God, and I'm like, they don't understand. They preach like grace and mercy are enemies fighting each other. Like, God's holy. He's just, but I know He's merciful too. And you listen to him preaching, you get confused. Like, is he holy or is he merciful? All right? God's principles don't contradict one another. They complement one another.
Amen.
So, that preacher, he's a holiness preacher. That preacher, he's a merciful preacher. Why can't you be a holiness, merciful preacher? Balance Bible doctrine with Bible doctrine. The Bible said truth and righteousness have kissed each other. Mercy and peace have kissed. They've met together. Where'd all that happen? At Calvary.
Yeah, well,
Christ is balanced. Amen. Christ is balanced. Now listen, while the doctrine of holiness teaches us that God hates sin, the doctrine of mercy teaches us that God loves sinners. That's balancing. God hates sin, but He loves sinners. While we understand that God is a sovereign God, is God a sovereign God? Yes, He is. Am I a Calvinist? No, I'm not. Does it really mean that God does what He wants, where He wants, when He wants, how He wants, to who He wants, and He's right? It does. A sovereign God does what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, how He wants, to who are you to question your Creator? But we also believe in the free will of man. We balance doctrine with doctrine. God is sovereign, but in God's sovereignty, God, not James Ruttman, God,
amen,
not Dari,
hey,
God, Pastor Dari, excuse me, not,
hey,
not God said, whosoever will.
Yeah, amen.
Let him come drink the water of life freely.
Amen.
So a sovereign God in His sovereignty gave man a free will. See, everybody wants you to go from one side to the other. Everybody says, oh, you gotta believe this or you gotta believe that. Why can't we believe in the sovereignty of God and the free will of man at the same time?
Yeah.
Because the Bible teaches both.
Amen.
They intersect. And Charles Spurgeon said, I don't understand the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. I don't understand. He said, here's what I understand. They go on two parallel lines throughout eternity. Can I tell you those parallel lines intersected at Calvary?
Yeah, amen.
The sovereignty of God came down. Amen. And the mercy of God, man, the free will of man. And if a man will receive what God did for him, he can be saved. Amen.
Amen.
While we believe there's a real place called heaven, we also believe there's an awful place called hell. Every doctrine, there is a... How do I want to say it? There's another doctrine that you have to balance it with. Every doctrine. Every doctrine. Balance doctrine with Bible. We must never become off balance with Bible doctrine. The New Testament teaches that a man is justified by faith alone. Do you all agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
We're justified. You all believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
We believe that we're justified by faith alone. But now you just said faith alone. What about repentance? You balance Bible doctrine with Bible doctrine. So this group of independent Baptists say, huh, you're East Believism. This group says, you're a bunch of hardcore repentants. Why can't we just believe in repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ all at the same time? Why do we have to go say, oh, it's all this or it's all that? These guys, church guys, they put us in this thing, you're universal church or you're local church. Okay, listen, I'm not even going to get in the argument. Everybody says universalist, Catholic. Okay, forget it. How about spiritual church versus physical church? Why do I have to get in this camp and say, oh, I'm only local church? There's no such thing as a spiritual church ever, in spite of the fact that the Bible calls us church, the firstborn in heaven. Amen. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. Amen. And for one spirit, are y'all baptized in one body? So we have. And then these guys like, them guys over there, bunch of local church nuts. They believe the only way you can be part of a church is to join a church. Why can't I be a member of the spiritual body of Christ, amen, and be a part of a physical, visible assembly, balance doctrine with doctrine? Because I'm telling you, that's what God does in His Word, amen. Baptist preachers in camp means they'll make you take this side, especially if you're a missionary in deputation. They'll be like, you believe this or this? Why can't I believe both? Because the Bible balances them both out, amen. There it is, right there, just balanced. God's never off kilter. He's never off balance, amen.
Amen.
Then listen, we go on and on. Let me get down to D&E. I think my time's probably gone, isn't it? It's gone. All right, so let me give you D&E real quickly. All right, how do we study the Bible? A, gather all necessary Bible references. B, when you approach it, understand there's going to be divisions. And divisions are going to appear to be contradictions. And you have to understand that when you see what appears to be a contradiction, it's not a contradiction. You just haven't studied enough to find the answer. Amen, all right? And then balance doctrine with doctrine. Then, hey, when you're studying the Word of God, especially to teach or preach the Word of God, use scriptural language to state Bible doctrine. I'm talking about studying the Word of God now. Now, I mean, there's basics I haven't talked about, like getting a concordance, a dictionary, 1828. We talked about that, I think, last night, or maybe you talked about when you were teaching, or maybe we balanced it, both of you talked about it, I think. Amen. All right. Get a good dictionary, get a good, you know, how to study, all those kind of things. Watch this right here. When you're studying the Word of God, and when you're reading what men say about the Word of God, watch it when they leave the Word of God to explain the Word of God. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. All right. There is power in the Word of God. We do not use words which man's wisdom teacheth. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Rather, we use words which the Holy Ghost teacheth in the Bible. Words like this, hell. That's a Bible word. So when you're explaining hell to somebody, you just got to tell them the truth. There's a hell that you're going to burn in.
Yeah.
Words like grace, it's a Bible word. Words like blood, God demands a blood sacrifice for sin that was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Words like repent, justify, sanctify, those words aren't appreciated by the liberals of our day, but can I tell you right now, they're Bible words, amen? And the power that's in our teaching, in our preaching, in our study is found in this book right here. You can read that, and I'm for reading commentary. You can go to my office right now. There's a list of commentaries, and I'll read them. But I'm telling you, as long as I stay with the book, I stay with them. But they get from the book, I'm like, don't read them on this one. Amen.
Amen.
That's messed up. All right, and here it is. Lastly, I'm talking about how to study the Bible. All right, learn to combine your doctrine with practice. And I'm back to belief leads to right behavior. Learn to combine doctrine with practice. Right thinking leads to right living. There's an inseparable connection between doctrine and duty, between precept and practice. If you're just here to say, well, I want to learn how to be a preacher so I can make a CD or so I can get a big name in Ghana, he's a preacher so-and-so in village so-and-so, that prophet. Okay, you're here for the wrong reason. Precept in order to practice. Belief in order to behave. Right thinking right living. Inseparable connection. Discovered truths must be applied to life. Doctrine becomes a dynamic when you apply that doctrine to your life. Amen. I don't read this Bible just to say, oh, look how much the Bible I read. I read through the Bible 53 times last year. I read the Bible so that it can transform my life. I don't read the Bible just so I can be the most knowledgeable man in Takoradi. Knowledge puffeth up. I know I'm skinny right now, but man, look how fat I am spiritually because I have all this knowledge. God gives you knowledge so that you can apply it to your life and live it. Not just so you can know it, so you can live it. All right? That's the class today, guys. I know I went over time, and I am so sorry. The other teachers aren't allowed to do this. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. I pray now, Lord, if there's any questions that anybody has, I pray they take time to ask the questions and just bless our little time of fellowship now together. Lord, and bless as these folks go home. And God, bring us back together again next week, I pray, as we continue to study Bible doctrine and bibliology, as we continue to study the pastoral epistles, and as we continue to study right and divide the word of truth, and as Angie teaches the ladies, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are